receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Putting chemicals in the water that turn the freaking Gorns gay. Oh shit. I think I really pissed him off this time. Jones to Central Command, get me out of here.
Alex, we're tracking you now. I can have you up here in a few minutes.
I don't have a few minutes.
I'm coming to get you! You can't hide from me, you crazy conspiracy theorist piece of shit!
Look, McBreen, don't take all day on this. It doesn't have to look fancy.
Okay. But this would look better if I had more time.
Just beam me up.
Prepare to transport.
We are ready to beam up Alex Jones. And by the way, you look smoking hot in that uniform.
I know.
You guys really need to get me out of here.
Gotcha!
Now, energize.
Yes!
Slam dunk.
I hate you, Alex Jones!
Put me on screen. I need to send an urgent message to planet Earth.
Okay, Alex, we're patching you through now. You are live in 3, 2, 1, go!
Ladies and gentlemen, what you just watched was science fiction. But what I'm about to tell you is real. Because truth is stranger than fiction.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The globalists think they've had a victory shutting down a URL, InfoWars. The info war belongs to the people. The war on for the mind is universal. And we are witnessing the great awakening of populism and the fourth turning right now. If you think... Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro, let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Sunday Night Live here on the Alex Jones Network. It's alexjoneslive.com. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, here with you today for this, what is it, the 3rd of May, 2026. My goodness, time flies. It's been quite a weekend. I've had a fantastic weekend, to be honest with you. I've spent probably too much of it, to be fair, on X and on Twitter, because just like every time anything bad happens to Alex Jones or any attack is waged against us or some new development in the bankruptcy saga, the outpouring of support from our fans is the most uplifting thing you can possibly imagine. And it's just a good excuse. It's a good excuse to go back and watch all the classic clips, all the classic rants, post the classic, the songs. I saw versions of the song I've never seen before. I had no idea. Our the former InfoWars archiver, Sean, had found every clip from the song, the Somali song, and he found it in the original and then put it all together. So it's like an a cappella version. It was just awesome. I don't know. If you haven't been on X recently, then you've missed out on a lot of classic Alex Jones material being spread. And it's just great to see everybody, so many people that is, recognize what's actually happening with InfoWars, what's actually happening with Alex Jones, the importance of what's happening there. It's really gratifying and amazing, especially since, it feels like a blink of an eye since I first joined InfoWars. I guess it's been almost a decade at this point, which is kind of terrifying, but true. And even like when I first joined, the idea that you would have like all of these mainstream people, all of these, powerful, influential people coming out in support of Alex Jones, we were a far cry from that, but after 9 years of being proven right over and over and over again, of being the only outlet to tell the truth on the air all through the COVID saga or now the Iran war, it's InfoWars, or it was. Now it's Alex Jones, and it always was. So it's going to be hard to break that habit, I got to say. Every time I say InfoWars now, I'm saying it with a Z on the end, okay? Just fair warning. Try not to say it, but, when something becomes part of your identity over nearly a decade, it'll be hard to drop. But the information war certainly continues. And I really am seeing some very, very concerning signs, concerning signals. Perhaps the most concerning thing about them is that they're happening all across the world all at once. In other words, you've got a law passing in Oregon that looks an awful lot like what they're doing in the EU. Or you have a law passing in Washington State that looks an awful lot like what they're doing in the UK at exactly the same time. And to me, all proceeding to exactly the same end, which is obviously our total enslavement. And I think the Iran war is deliberately bringing about this condition. Obviously, the warning signs today that everybody is starting to recognize that we identified the minute that the Iran war started. We, nailed that on its head. Obviously, the Strait of Hormuz being closed, we absolutely called. And as most people were looking at oil, we were also some of the first to go, this is about fertilizer. And to notice that everything that's happening worldwide right now seems awful familiar, doesn't it? It seems an awful lot like what preceded the COVID lockdowns in 2020. And I even remember saying, I really should have probably grabbed the clip because it must have been like the first or second day after the Iran war started. And I did a big monologue on the War Room saying, this feels like COVID. I feel like we're sitting here seeing the future, seeing where this goes, seeing the lockdowns, seeing the trauma, seeing the devastating impacts of the economic collapse that they're bringing about. And once again, we just have to sit here and watch it. We just have to, I mean, we don't just sit here and watch it. We do everything we possibly can to shout as loudly as we can, to warn as many people as we possibly can about what's coming and what the purpose of this is and why it's happening. We are sort of suicidally dedicated to this mission of getting things out. So not that we just have to sit here and watch everything proceed, but knowing that it doesn't matter what the people think, knowing that it doesn't matter, like our appeals fall on deaf ears because people doing this aren't stupid. They know exactly what they're doing and they're doing it on purpose. So, and like, once you understand that that is the reality, and I've said many, many times before, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, there's really just one step you have to take, and that's understand that things don't just happen, okay? Things don't just occur. You don't have wild, you know, unprecedented swings of the demographics or the transgender phenomenon. These things don't just spring out of the ground like water. These are deliberate, manufactured policies pushed by specific people for specific ends. And once you realize that and just start asking questions about who they are and why they're doing it, everything else kind of falls into place in terms of being a conspiracy theorist and pursuing that line of questioning to the end. Why are we going to war with Iran? Why would they want the, you know, fertilizer not to make it to the farmers? Won't that create starvation? Why would they want starvation? Oh, because then you can ration things. And so then basically people's good behavior determines whether they live or die. And you're the one who gets to judge their good behavior. Like it all kind of, you know, proceeds from the last in a logical progression that it's an unbroken chain. So we're going to ask that question. We're going to ask those questions. We're going to ask why. We're going to look at, you know, what the end point of this, because it's sort of glaringly obvious. As a far left guy, which, you know, this is the thing. This is what we're seeing now is such an amazing example of how the left and right divide is used by those in power to keep us from getting anything done or from solving any of our problems, because so many people are locked in to the right wing Republican establishment mindset or loyalty or whatever it is that they get led down these paths that just don't make any sense. And we've pointed out for a while now, what they're trying to set up in the Republican Party is that there's one and only one thing you must believe to be a conservative, and that is supporting Israel. And that's them deciding that. That's the Republican Party and the Republican establishment deciding that Republicans are represented by Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin and, you know, these people, pro-Israel crowd, and that they can believe anything else. I mean, look at Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz changed his registration over to Republican, just like Sergey Brin did, or maybe it was Larry Page. But I think it was Sergey Brin, the head of Google. He also did the same thing, switched his registration over to Republican. And at least in Alan Dershowitz's case, he wrote an article explaining, I'm still a Democrat. I still believe everything the Democrats believe, right? Alan Dershowitz is not a conservative by any means. He makes it explicit that he's switching because Republicans support Israel and for no other reason. So you can believe in transgenderism. You can believe in immigration. You can be pro-immigration, legal and illegal. You can, like, whatever. It doesn't matter. You can believe whatever the hell you want. But if you're pro-Israel, you're a Republican. If you're anti-Israel, you're a Democrat. Do you understand how ridiculous that dichotomy is and how useful it is for the bad guys in power to get whatever the hell they want done? Because you can always just have the sides completely flip at any point. I mean, we saw this with Epstein. We saw this with the Epstein files. The Democrats went for 10 years at least ignoring the existence of Jeffrey Epstein or any elite pedophiles like it was the plague. Like they resisted it to ends that didn't make any sense at the time, right? Aren't you against elite pedophilia? Don't you know this goes on? They'd say, you crazy conspiracy theorists, because obviously the Democrats were the ones associated with it. Now, that's not the reason we talked about it. We talked about it with the Dennis Haskert guy. He was a Republican Speaker of the House. Of course, we're going to talk about that. We talked about George H.W. Bush, the Franklin cover-up, all that sort of stuff. It doesn't matter to us what side the satanic pedophiles are on. They're our enemy. So we'll go after them. Not so for the Democrats. The Democrats wanted to protect Hillary Clinton, wanted to protect Bill Clinton, wanted to protect Jeffrey Epstein and the entire Democrat establishment that he was very hooked into. And so for 10 years, they made it a giant joke, the idea that there was elite pedophilia. Then Trump refuses to release the Epstein files and suddenly becomes an anti-Trump stance to be in favor of the Epstein release. It's just totally ridiculous, but I guess it makes sense. I guess the power that's not the party that's not in power is allowed to want the Epstein files released. It's just once you're in power and have the ability to release it, suddenly it flips all of a sudden. And it's kind of strange how that happens. So like right now, the Republicans should be the ones who are championing farmers. I don't think I should have to explain that. I think you could ask anybody that speaks English, are farmers typically considered right wing or left wing? Everybody knows they're going to be right wing. Again, I'm sorry if I have to explain this to you, but rural people tend to vote Republican just as a condition. These are our people. We should be the ones looking after them. What are we doing? By which I mean the Republicans. What are the Republicans doing right now? Desperately trying to give Roundup immunity so glyphosate can give farmers cancer. Trying to rewrite the farm bill in order to force all these farmers to sell their land to major, you know, multinational conglomerates. And now, with the crushing of the fertilizer, Republicans who are refusing to acknowledge any negatives of this war, which again is, I think, on purpose because the destruction of America is one of the points of why we're going into war in Iran, why we went into war in Iran. And by the way, I think we may be getting more involved in the war in Iran. I actually saw the videos I was driving in, so I didn't have a chance to send to the crew. But if the crew wants to try to find, CNN had a guy on talking about how a major admiral, Admiral Cooper, was just seen at CENTCOM, and there are all these sort of signals pointing to the fact that a major ground invasion may be right around the corner, which we've sort of been waiting for and desperately trying to avoid it this entire time. So, again, very useful. Should be the Republicans that are against the crushing of the farmers in America. Instead, they've done this two-party shadowboxing jujitsu where now it's the left wing that's trying to protect farmers. That's crazy. But only because it's the obvious negative consequence of the war in Iran. That's the right clip, guys. If y'all want to grab that and throw that in, let me know when you have it. We'll go to that. But this is like, I didn't even realize, this is the thing. I sent the crew a bunch of like tweets to tweet out, and I thought this one was sort of a good summation of a lot of what's going on with the farmers in America. I didn't even realize at the time, I despise this account. This account is Morgan J. Freeman. He's like one of the worst leftist accounts of all time. So why am I using him as a source? Because he's telling the truth about farmers in America, because to him, he thinks it benefits him politically. But I'll just tell it to you because it's the truth. He says nobody's saying how effed the farmers in America are right now. The agriculture secretary just confirmed it publicly. One in four American farmers has no fertilizer secured for spring planting. No fertilizer, no crops, no food. Farm bankruptcies are up 45% or 46% in 2025, probably even more so in 2026. 160,000 farms have closed since 2017. Less than half of all farmers will even turn a profit this year. They're not struggling. They're being wiped out. And the media is busy covering everything else. The real story hasn't been told yet. Follow me because I'm about to tell it. And again, I'd never follow him, but you should not follow him. He's a terrible person as far as I'm concerned. I think, yeah, he's got the No Kings banner as his profile picture. So like, why is it the left is talking about this? And is it just so the right wing don't actually notice it or shrug it off and pretend it's not actually happening? Because it is happening. And it's been happening in a variety of different ways. And it's happening with the co-signature of the Republican Party and the conservatives here in America. The glyphosate, the selling out of the farmland to Bill Gates or Chinese billionaires or whoever the hell else can grease the palms of the people in charge. And that's not even getting into all the stuff that we've covered over and over again with the likes of Tiffany Cianci and others. And of course, it's not just the fertilizer, it is the fuel as well. Spirit Airlines just shut down after something like, I think something like 34 years in operation, something like that. Delta Airlines is now mysteriously canceling hundreds of flights nationwide, citing crew restrictions. The disruptions come as Spirit Airlines has officially shut down, adding further stress and uncertainty across the U.S. travel system. And it really just goes on and on. And you've got same thing happening in the U.K. This is one of the things I mean, where you have, you know, companies here, Delta Airlines seeking a $2.5 billion bailout. Delta Airlines mysteriously canceling hundreds of flights nationwide. And then you've got Europe passing laws that allow flights to be canceled over fuel shortages. Airlines can cancel flights in advance over fuel shortages under new plans being adopted in the UK. And of course, all of this is simply like perfectly in line, you know, fit like a dovetail into the C40 climate change agenda, which hasn't gone anywhere. It has morphed a little bit now that the data centers are being built. And we got a lot of news about that today as well. The just unending negatives when it comes to the data centers being built. Like, all of these things are pre-planned, and it's not a coincidence that time and time again you have these mysterious circumstances or unexplained circumstances or supposedly unforeseen circumstances that align directly with everything they said they were going to do anyway. So I've got this workbook here, this PDF that I've covered many times before, but it's the C40 city program, the future of urban consumption in a 1.5 degree Celsius world, C40 cities headline report. In this report, they detail how they will incrementally remove air travel, car travel, and even just basic purchasing power from consumers. And they outline, like, in the perfect future with the, you know, carbon neutral future, everybody will be granted one short haul flight every 5 years. And like, literally, I mean, they have it down to that. And like, they'll be able to buy 5 pieces of clothing, take one short haul flight, and drive, you know, this many miles. And like, that's what they're planning for you. They're planning to basically have everybody start at zero and never get above it. Like, that's the ultimate plan. They'll do, you know, the death taxes. I mean, they consider inheritance evil, right? You're not allowed to inherit anything. You have to start at zero. So we all start at the lowest possible common denominator. So we're all equal, and then nobody gets any benefits, and they're even going to have money that expires. So you can't have savings. You certainly can't save up to make a big purchase, right? Any debt will be dependent on your social credit score. So you'll be forced to behave through that. But essentially, they want to grind down your ability to exist until basic survival is so expensive it's all you can afford to do. That's the ultimate plan. That's what all of this goes towards. And again, they can act like they didn't know the Strait of Hormuz was going to be shut. They can act like what's happening now with the airlines is just, you know, an emergency response to a unstoppable situation. But none of this is unforeseen. We called it all. So how could it have been unforeseen? How could we have known this was going to happen? The people in D.C. didn't know. Of course they knew. So why didn't the media tell you? Because they didn't want you to know, because they wanted it to happen. So all this is just incredibly frustrating that, once again, we can just see the steps, where they're going, and the people, not just us, but even if we got everybody in America who's not in Washington, D.C. and actually making the decisions on our side to, you know, be vehemently against this, it would still go on, because it doesn't matter what you say, because democracy is a lie and these people are going to do it regardless of what you think. And if you disagree, then they'll use whatever psychological manipulation they need to either get you on their side or destroy you. It's like totally just a ruthless death cult that we're working against here. And until we recognize that, they're going to win without even really having to fight. Let's go to this video. This is from CNN, just broke a few minutes ago. And we've seen some differing statements about what's going on with the war in Iran. The 60-day deadline expired. So, you know, to continue operations, Trump would need a, you know, certification from Congress, unless they're saying that, oh, that operation ended. This is a new operation. So the clock resets and we get another 60 days, which would be stretching an already very thinly stretched provision of the Constitution. But that may be what they're doing. Here's CNN. And again, I don't even. Once again, I'm showing you a source that I frankly despise. But Barak Ravid is like one of the worst people ever. So take this with a grain of salt. But this is what they want people to believe. So let's just start with that. And then we'll try to deconstruct on the other side. But here's CNN saying, looks like a big ground force is preparing for a war with Iran.
Global affairs analyst and Axios correspondent Barak Ravid. Barak, it's always great to have you. So we have these pieces that Nick and Betsy just laid out for us. What is your sense of where things stand tonight when it comes to this war with Iran?
So first, I think that the Iranian response, this 14-point document, at least as far as I know, is not going to stop a possible escalation. I think if anything, it could lead to an escalation. I don't think that the Iranian responses, for what I hear from U.S. officials, I don't get the sense that there was anything in this response that addresses the U.S. concerns, especially when it comes to Iran's nuclear program. President Trump has told me personally he's not going to lift the blockade only to get the Strait of Hormuz open. He will only lift the blockade for a comprehensive deal that includes addressing U.S. concerns about Iran's enrichment of uranium and uranium stockpiles. So I don't think we will see in the next few days, or I'll be more careful maybe. I would be highly surprised if we will see any serious diplomatic progress in the next few days. I think we are much closer to the opposite scenario of an escalation on the ground.
That was what I wanted to ask you, was what your sense is of the chances of this escalating. So it sounds like you think that is a very real possibility.
Yeah, I think just 5 minutes ago, the U.S. Military Central Command published photos of CENTCOM Commander Admiral Brad Cooper in an unannounced visit to the forces in the Arabian Sea. Admiral Cooper, just on Thursday evening, met with President Trump to brief him on operational plans for possible military action against Iran. And from the White House, he went to the Middle East and met with the U.S. soldiers on the USS Tripoli. The USS Tripoli is part of the Special Marines Expeditionary Unit that is tasked at, sort of operations that could be implemented in the Strait of Hormuz.
So again, you know, obviously the war in Iran is not over by any means. It's not anywhere close to being over. The Strait is still this matter of contention. And it seems like the only thing stopping us from just calling it quits is that Trump wants to save face and not look like he's lost, or that maybe, just maybe, the Strait being closed is the point of all of this, and that this was never a war to destroy Iran, and it was always a war to finish off America and Europe.
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalists. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing them. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at thealexjonesnetwork.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, they're even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So if I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, Go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our Methylene Blue is the best. Our Methylene Red is proprietary. Our Bovine Colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why when callers call in and thank me, I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed. Take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show. And on Rumble, and Alex Jones on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links, and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear, I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is Rumble.com/AlexJonesLive. Rumble.com/AlexJonesLive. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the Coordinates of Liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/AlexJonesLive, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
He's the first quarter, which is, there he is.
Oh, my gosh.
he's already starting to move now down the backside. He was five or six behind the last horse. Great ground-saving trip by Jose Ortiz. Sometimes when you're that far back, Mike, that everybody
the Kentucky
makes
Derby,
a decision already, and you're left
when we put in a box we want,
now he'll shift him out.
We're talking comms on it. Golden Tempo went from last place to first place, basically on the final stretch. It was probably one of the most amazing sports occurrences I've ever seen. It was absolutely amazing. I hope you were watching along with it, because while there are so many, you know, American traditions that we've either lost or like can't enjoy anymore, you know, like the Super Bowl, like you worry about turning it on for what the commercials are going to be or whatever. It's like you tune into the Kentucky Derby and it's like pomp and ceremony and actual sportsmanship, and I don't know. I guess you can, I don't know, maybe you can rig horse races. I saw some people suggesting that it was rigged just because it was so unbelievable what happened. But it's like, how do you convince a horse to take a loss? I don't know. I don't know if that's possible. I trust the horses more than I trust the athletes normally. But it was really, you get to see some amazing things if you pay attention. And again, it's just, it's like almost sad. It's like almost sad seeing things like the Kentucky Derby and being like, yeah, this is how things could be. This is how everything could be. Why isn't it? Why is it that I can't turn on the Super Bowl or the World Series and enjoy it with my young kids without like traumatizing them? Because I mean, y'all remember in the Super Bowl, the first commercial that aired was like a horror movie, and it's just like these like horrible images. And it's just like, are they trying to psychologically traumatize us? And the answer is yes, they are. That's the point. That's the point of why they're doing it. Because what I said at the beginning of the show applies to literally everything. And this is what you need to get over. People have this normalcy bias. Normalcy bias usually is invoked to mean like people think that nothing major is ever going to disrupt the world so much that their life is going to be affected. So like even though crazy things happen, you can just proceed as normal. But I think there's another aspect to it, which is the boiling frog, slow incremental change that people can like see and kind of acknowledge sometimes. But I think we don't realize just how bad it's gotten. Like, I don't know, you'll be hanging out with people watching something like the Super Bowl and they're just like, whew, commercials these days, huh? And it's like, that's an inappropriate response. Because slowly but surely, things have gotten worse to the point where they're so crazy now, your reaction should be to, like, freak out. But because the water's been boiled slowly, you just are like, this is just a little bit weirder than it was before. Things are a little bit weirder this year than they were last year, huh? But take somebody from 20 years ago, and they would, like, have a stroke. They would just be like, what is this? What happened? Is Satan the president? Did you guys elect Satan? Because clearly, everybody in this society worships Satan. So it's like, bring somebody from 20 years ago without the incremental, you know, getting used to this. And I think you'd see just how horrible just literally absolutely everything is. That's sort of across the board. Sort of across the board in all of this. And by the way, not to say we told you so, but like it really is astonishing how much farther ahead we are than everybody else because we apply this metric, because we ask, okay, who's doing this and for what? Things don't just happen. Why are they doing this? Why are they choosing to do this? You know, Hollywood sports, it's sort of a perfect example because the answer is not money. A lot of people, socialists especially, left-wingers especially, they try to find out who's making money off something, and that's it. That's the answer. That's the only reason anybody does anything. It's the only thing you're allowed to be against. Got to be against people being greedy for money. But, you know, if you talk about taking over something to lose a ton of money, but in exchange get to brainwash everybody, they have no paradigm for that type of activity. But that's the reality. And if you look at Hollywood, I mean, they have collapsed. They're like totally broke. They cannot make a good movie. They cannot do anything. And because all they've done for the last 10 years or so is make remakes of remakes of remakes, totally creatively bankrupt, and a lot of times making those remakes specifically to like counter-signal and discredit the original by race swapping, gender swapping, message swapping, whatever it may be. Animal Farm is a great example of this. I haven't seen the new movie, but from all the reviews that I've seen and watched on YouTube and everything, it apparently it's been totally changed from the original, you know, book. Did they do that to make money? No, it's actually a deeply anti-capitalist story that they're telling, and it's not going to make any money. So like, okay, I can understand how you'd say, well, you know, demographics have changed. Now the customer base has changed. Now they've changed things to fit the new customer base, but they're changing things in a way that has no customer base, that has no fans, that routinely and repeatedly leads to total abject collapse and failure. So why are they doing it? Because it's not money. They're losing money. They're willing to lose gobs and gobs of money doing the same thing over and over again. Why? Why would they do that? And the answer is because you need total across the board, full spectrum uniformity, or else people are going to start questioning things. You can't have, you know, a really good movie that sticks with, you know, American traditional values and has all the genders in the right place and everything, and it does $1 billion. Like, you just can't allow that to happen. So you crush absolutely everything with the diversity requirements. So everything sucks. Nobody's making money, but you prop it up endlessly because that's the point, because you're trying to brainwash everybody, because you're trying to, and succeeding in a lot of ways, present a unified front so that for the average low propensity, low IQ person out there who just wants to go along, who not even consciously but subconsciously just adopts the majority view, just adopts that view and doesn't even understand that there's a countervailing view because it's never been introduced to them because they don't go out and seek it. And this might be a good time to go into the video I have of Nick Fuentes, although it may need to be – do we need to – I don't know if we have a dump button here. Do we have a dump button in here? Because I think he curses in this video. We might need to censor it. All right, let's let her rip. So this is clip number three here. This is Nick Fuentes. I just thought he laid this out brilliantly. And I got to say, when it comes to Nick, I'm like, I watch a clip of his, and at the end of it, I'm just like, yes, that's exactly what I was trying to say. Like, I feel like he and I are very aligned, you know, mentally, like the way we interpret things is very aligned. I think if you watch my shows, you'll have heard me say all of this stuff. But then he just has a way of like putting it in a 5-minute video that includes everything. And for some reason, it takes me an hour to get to the same point. I don't know what it is. So I'm gonna shuff this off onto him. I'm going to, you know, tag him in for a minute to explain this. But it's what, you know, is sort of obvious if you pay attention, if you look at it and you look around, and failing upwards is sort of the watchword here. And so I'm talking about with Hollywood, too. You would think, one would think, in a capitalistic society based on meritocracy, that, like, if you put somebody in charge of, I don't know, the most popular intellectual property in the history of the world, like Star Wars, and they immediately ram it into the ground so hard nobody can even believe it. And like, we're still like in, like, it's crazy that they took Star Wars, which was like the biggest intellectual property for decade upon decade upon decade. And in about one decade, it is totally valueless. Nobody cares. Nothing they make is popular, has any resonance in popular culture, unless they do something just utterly, you know, cynical and just like, let's put a really cute baby Yoda so we can sell toys. And that's like the only thing that's popular and the only thing anybody knows. So what happens when you put somebody in charge of something that should be ostensibly a infinite money printing device? You hand over Star Wars to Disney. What that should mean is year upon year upon year of billion-dollar successes. Instead, you get about 5 years of moderate success and then total abject failure. And then that person gets promoted and gets given another intellectual property. And then the directors that ruined the movies get to do even bigger and more important movies. Explain it to me. You explain it to me, because clearly it has nothing to do with performance. It has nothing to do with money. They're losing infinite amounts of money, yet they don't change their activity. Why would they do that? And the answer is because it's a medium for a message. The message is not popular. So the message doesn't make money, but it's just that important that it gets out, according to the people spreading this message. Here's Nick Fuentes breaking it down perfectly. Let's watch.
At one point, one of the most prolific journalists in America at the Washington Examiner. But you want to know why you never heard about him? Because he got fired, he got censored, and then they blotted his name out from the history books. You ever heard of Joseph Sobran? One of the preeminent intellectuals, maybe number two in the country in the 1980s. You never heard about him because he started criticizing Israel. He lost his job at the magazine. They blotted his name out. And the same goes for many others. The same goes for many others over the years. Journalists, media figures, people on radio, people in the newspapers in the 30s, Charles Coughlin. It's happened to many others over the years. And that's just how it goes. So you think about those, you think about how that array, that matrix looks. You look at somebody like, Alex Jones, that's like just to me the perfect comparison. Alex Jones is endlessly parodied, imitated, emulated. Everybody does an impression of him. Everybody thinks he's hilarious. He is an American original, American icon of broadcasting, a true original. Like, you can't say enough about him like that. And he's being crushed under the thumb of this system. Nobody's going to help him out. He's going to start Alex Jones Network. Barry Weiss is this, like, pretentious lesbian. She's just as dumb as they come. So unlikable. So stupid. And she's running CBS News. That's your Jewish meritocracy that they want to. Why are Jews running the media? Because they were the middlemen in the Middle Ages, right? Because the Catholic Church outlawed usury. Right, they're going to say something like that, right? You say, why is Barry Weiss running the media? And the Jews are going to say, it's because we're smarter. We're smarter than you, Goy. It's because they're just so much smarter. It's because the stupid mud farmers in the Middle Ages banned the Gentiles from collecting interest. And that's why 900 years later, Barry Weiss is running CBS, right? Isn't that what they say? It's that Ashkenazi IQ. Even though she's an idiot, even though she's running CBS into the ground, even though the free press was a joke, she gets $150 million from her Jewish sugar daddy. And it's one thing after another for her like that. From the Shalem Center to Brett Stevens being her mentor to the seed funding from Lonsdale at the Free Press and University of Austin, right through to now CBS News falling upward. And not one stop along the way did she need to have an original thought, a personality, an audience, business sense, anything. Versus someone like Alex Jones, someone like Candace Owens. It could not be more clear. You know, same thing with Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro's a punk. Who likes this? Guy's a piece of shit. He's a smarmy, arrogant cocksucker, this guy. Everybody knows that. Know-it-all, above it all. Everybody, to him, everybody, you're an idiot. You're a moral idiot. Wagging his finger in our face, we need to support Israel more versus someone like Alex Jones. That's your society. That's the system. So people need to understand this is the game that is being played and like that. And the media is everything. That is what is conditioning the masses. That is what is populating the timeline on TikTok, on Twitter. People think they see the news. What they see is the news through the media. It's a medium of information. That's what media is. Media is the plural of medium. It is the medium. It is the go-between. How do we understand and perceive the world? Through the media. It's an illusion. You understand? They're the script writers, the music makers. They control what we see, what we hear, what we therefore then think about reality. That is how they control reality. That's why they can't let people play their game. That's why there's no Gentiles in media. It's got to be Darren Beatty and Jonathan Kieperman and Costin Alamariu and Barry Weiss and Ben Shapiro. Right? Am I wrong? It's got to be Jake Tapper, a Jew, Wolf Blitzer, a Jew, Mark Levin, a Jew, Tony Dokapil, a Jew, Barry Weiss, a Jew. That is who can control reality. Those are the masters of reality. And they'll let a Gentile be a spokesman, but he's got to bend the knee to them first. Otherwise, they're a vile anti-Semite. They're an Islamo-Nazi. They're a Islamo-Communist, whatever. It's what it is. We're in a war with them for control of reality. But anyway.
In war with them over the control of reality. The good news is, you know, a lot of people who listen to us do not get their reality drip fed to them by hostile foreigners. That's the good news. And of course, I would say that it does run the gauntlet. Really, you know, it's about being generally bad for the cohesiveness of the American society, bad for just America in general, because I would say Vice News is one of these organizations, right? Failed repeatedly got injections of $400 million. I mean, it's sort of ubiquitous, actually. It's actually the story of pretty much every single left-wing outlet ever. They get funded by billions of dollars. They get access and priority, and their channels go up on all the, you know, devices, and they're force-fed constantly, and yet they still fail. And it really is like, you have to understand, this is a constantly churning engine that this is occurring just all the time, everywhere, like constantly. There was even a thing today, I didn't even print this out, but apparently, well, I don't want to spread rumors, but apparently Laura Loomer is, I don't know, no longer like Rumble sponsored or something. People were pointing out that she's no longer on the front page of Rumble, and so only has like 300 live viewers. And so, like, you know, Laura Loomer versus Alex Jones. It's 9 million unique website visits in 72 hours or whatever versus 300 people on a live stream, right? It's Tucker Carlson just absolutely shattering every record of popularity ever set versus Mark Levin, who gets shoved down our throat and nobody can stand. It really is sort of constant and ubiquitous once you notice it. And of course, it's not just the pressure that's being applied and the, you know, insinuations that are being made. I mean, I think we showed the video on Friday. Didn't I play it? Of Ben Shapiro talking about how he, you know, got in touch with his friends at X behind the scenes to, you know, let them know that some of these people getting virality maybe shouldn't. And you might want to crush their reach for me. Thanks, pal. And so, like, you've got these, like, behind the scenes, quiet kind of handshake agreements that occur where you just are subtly silencing people. Because as we explained, when they did it, like they thought they would try all out complete total eradication censorship. And they started with us in 2018. And thankfully, because of your support at thealexjonesstore.com, because you didn't let them take us down, they failed in 2018 to deplatform and therefore eliminate and destroy us. We were the test case, but they did it to a ton of other people. But it was too obvious. It was too in your face. It caused the Streisand effect. It got us more popular at the end of the day. So they've reorganized. So they've re-strategized. And now they understand we can't just eliminate people outright. It makes everybody go look for them. So we'll let them have their account. We'll let them think they're talking to everybody. We'll just turn down their reach by 25% and then another 10% and then another 10%. So it's actually psyoping everybody. It's psyoping the crowd and the audience because they're not even seeing your information. They're being gatekept from it. So you don't even know what your favorite quote unquote influencer is saying, but it also affects the creative, the creator, the influencer for lack of a better term, because you're putting things out and they're not popular and you're thinking, wow, okay, I must've fallen off. I must be wrong about this. No, you're just not getting the reach that you normally would. And that's because of algorithm manipulation. But of course it goes farther than that. Of course it goes deeper than that. Not only do you have big tech companies collaborating with the ADL, collaborating with the likes of Ben Shapiro, doing their bidding and silencing their enemies, but the government is writing laws to facilitate them doing this. And of course, I've always held that this was the real purpose of trying to buy InfoWars with a outside company. And so, like, once again, I mean, years ago, we talked about this, you know, when they first started going after us, going, oh, we get it. We get what they're going to do. They want our copyright so they can issue copyright takedown notices and remove all our information from the internet. That's why they want it. Alex tweeted this out today. Wild, the Democrat Party backed Onion's attempt to take over InfoWars has failed for now, and yet they're openly pledging to stop anyone from being able to view any of our incredibly accurate game-changing information in the future. It's extremely unfortunate for them. For 25 years, I've been on the record, both on air and in public contracts, posted to InfoWars stating that all of my information is copyright-free and represents a gift to humanity for anyone and everyone to use in any way they see fit. It's called checkmate censors. So look, thealexjonesstore.com, the InfoWarsStore.com before that, but now thealexjonesstore.com represent the checkmate against deplatforming because they don't control our money flow. They can't silence us by telling everybody this is absolutely free. Upload it yourself, copyright free. That's a checkmate against any future attempt to issue takedown orders. Now, the problem is, look at the way the Onion is acting right now. You have this article from the Rolling Stones, actually the tweet from Rolling Stone magazine. The tweet from Rolling Stone magazine was even more sort of blatant, but I guess they changed the headline for the actual article. But the original one was like, despite, you know, being rejected in the court, the Onion is still saying they own InfoWars. And it's just like, hey, that's just brazen. They're just brazen. Like, they're literally writing headlines. It's like, even though they didn't legally take it over, they are saying that they did, right? See Tim Heidecker's debut as host of The Onion's InfoWars, Drink the Blood of Forsaken. Despite Alex Jones's emergency motion, satirical site turns over control of InfoWars to comedian and new creative director. So the satirical site they're talking about is The Onion. So they're saying The Onion turned over control of InfoWars that they don't own because of the emergency motion. So they're literally just announcing like, yeah, despite it not being legal, we are saying that we are. So it's just like, this is just the brazen lawlessness which with which our enemies can attack us. So, okay. I guess that's just how it is. But legally, they should be prevented from doing it. However, if the person at YouTube is on their side, if the person at YouTube is just looking for an excuse, like I always use the metaphor, the imagery of like, you know, the gas station attendant that wants you to sell beer, knows you're underage, and it's just like, just show me an ID. I just got to check the box. I just got to be able to say, hey, I checked it. I checked the ID. It's his fault. It was fake. But he knows, but everybody knows. So what happens if somebody at YouTube or wherever, Rumble or anywhere, is against Alex Jones and it's just waiting for that excuse of, oh, well, we got a copyright notice here, so we'll comply with it out of abundance of caution, even though they know it's fake and totally unlawful. Apparently, the law doesn't really matter so much to people when it comes to doing things against InfoWars. So that's what I'm worried about, is that, hell, they may even be doing it now. I mean, we see how brazen they are. They may be issuing takedown orders. Actually, we own InfoWars. So you can see by all of these mainstream media reports saying that we own it, even though it was us saying that and it was a lie. Okay, great. So we don't know what they're going to do with it next. I know Alex talked about some of the things filed. I got no new information on that. But it's not over. Obviously, the fight goes on. Obviously, they weren't going to, you know, just say, good game, fellas. We'll get you next time. We're still going to be under attack. We are still going to be hunted to the ends of the earth because we are still doing the thing that they want us not to do, which is tell you the truth and lay out the real plans for the future of the world, who's doing them and why. This is the reason InfoWars was taken down. This is the reason the Alex Jones Network is all that important. This is why we encourage, beseech, implore, and beg you to go to thealexjonesstore.com, because it takes a lot of money to fight these people. And you saw how, you know, the Onion owner, whoever, you know, functionary, whoever this guy is like mad that we have money to pay for lawyers. He's like, this is totally unfair. Why should they get to file things against my filing? It's like, where's is all this dark money coming from? It ain't dark money. It's green money. And it comes from thealexjonesstore.com because we sell fantastic products that our customers love to buy and change their lives in a myriad of ways. So join us, won't you? Go to thealexjonesstore.com and do the thing that they really, really, really don't want you to do. Support alexjoneslive.com.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI, under Obama's command, launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of its operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.
Thank you.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is a Sunday Night Live broadcast of AlexJonesLive.com. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I'm going to go to a video here of Steve Bannon giving a little bit of very obvious advice to the Republicans, and Trump in particular, who has seen their share of the voting population decline by 22 points in just the last few months. Here's Steve Bannon telling them how they can get right back on track if they felt so inclined. Let's watch.
Actually, Washington Post. It's not New York Times, Washington Post. It's about the, you know, people looking the other way on mass deportations. You're going to have to go. If you want to hold the House, you're going to have to go back to that. Full stop. I was in Texas. I was in Virginia. If you want to win, it can't be all this crap with the lobbyists, Fabrizio, La Savita, all these guys on multiple people's payroll giving you bad information. And La Savita's track record is horrendous, and there should be a criminal investigation of what he's doing down in Texas of burning this money to destroy Ken Paxton in the grassroots movement, full stop. This is how the, and this story is a great story. Mike Howell's profiled, other people are profiled in there, are fighting for mass deportations and going to the employers. This is what the American people want. The last paragraph, if Denver could put it up and highlight it or box it, this is the last paragraph. This is after Bovino says there's 100 million deportations we could do. We don't have a country unless you do this. Is it hard? Yes. Is the media and the George Clooney's of the world going to fight you every step of the way? Yes. If you want to save your country, you're just going to have to power through it. I'm sorry. And this is why President Trump was the greatest comeback in history. This is the central issue. The central issue. And to hold accountability, who did this, which is the deep state trying to destroy this country, the neo-Marxist and the jihadist that have taken over New York City. Through both, we got both a problem with Sharia law in this country. We got a problem with H-1B visas. And we have to give a permission structure to be able to go after both of them. This is the final paragraph after Bovino made that quote on Human Events Daily and other places about 100 million. This is a guy that 30 years, the reason he knows the number for 30 years, he labored for this country on customs and border. So he knows. He knows the numbers. This guy dedicated his life to his country. And some punk over at DHS working for, and they didn't put their name in it, but we're going to find out because they got to be turfed out immediately. And Mark Wayne Mullins, Kung Fu Plumber, has got to get serious about this. He's got to get serious about this. He was atrocious in his confirmation hearing, and he was worse on the Laura Ingraham show, where she had to bring him up short. He gives me the, we're a nation of immigrants. Stop, dude. I've heard the left-wing propaganda. This is how it reads. Bovino could not be reached for comment. In response to a question about Bovino, the DHS spokesperson said, and here's the quote, disgruntled former employees at DHS are welcome to criticize their nation's leadership, unquote. Screw you. A disgruntled former employee, you're going to be a disgruntled former employee. This is crap. And people are fighting to make sure that people, listen, if the war room posse takes a pass, if you lean on your rakes, there's going to be a 30-seat blowout, full stop. A 30-seat blowout. So all the money and the La Savitas and the Fabrizios and all these geniuses that have blown everything they've touched and the Mike Johnsons of the world understand that without the grassroots in this country fired up to go door to door and do voter contact, this is a blowout. They had the article, oh, the GOP feels like they got a firewall, and that's all the money they've raised. All corporate money all comes with donors and lobbyists' greasy hands attached to it. No, that's not going to save you. It's not. And so for people that are concerned about the Trump revolution, we need to have some action. Now, today, you finally started getting something.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.
To an AJN Live Frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Alex Jones Live, second hour of Sunday Night Live here on the Alex Jones Network. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Make sure you're following us on X at AJN Live. AlexJonesLive.com is the URL to share to your friends and family. AlexJonesLive.com. I saw somebody on X yesterday saying, I miss the days when InfoWars, I should say, when Alex Jones was advertised on, you know, a piece of plywood sticking out of somebody's backyard, just saying, tune in to 90.1 or whatever it is, which is exactly what I always talk about. I mean, that's what, you know, once again reinforced for me how important and how influential and how unique this organization is, InfoWars will continue to be when you see people standing outside on their lunch break holding signs or something like that. That's the type of action we need now. Because just like Alex was saying during his show, and I've said before, I mean, I remember back in 2018, one of my neighbors saying, you know, I used to listen to Alex all the time and such a bummer y'all got, you know, taken out. And I said, well, you know, we're still on this other website. We're just not on YouTube. And he's like, yeah, but, you know, I watch things on YouTube, so. You don't exist to me anymore, basically. I mean, you're still supportive and whatever, but, you know, some people, if they have their media habits and if something is no longer available, it just sort of out of sight, out of mind. So let's not let that happen to the Alex Jones Network. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors. Do whatever you need to get the word out there. We probably need stickers, because that's always the fun thing, is when you see the InfoWars sticker in the wild. And you know that there are patriots about. But the merchandise as well, right? You can always wear an Alex Jones or old InfoWars shirt around and strike up conversations and, you know, make sure everybody knows where to go. AlexJonesLive.com. AlexJonesLive.com. Because our enemies are publishing things like this. Alex Jones is finally off the air for now. Nope. Wrong. Wrong. Very wrong, Ellie Quinlan. How Tailing, Alex Jones's final meltdown on InfoWars was a defiant rejection of the company's new ownership. Okay, sure. So I'm telling you, this is just like what they're telling everybody. They came out, you know, The Onion came out with their parody of us, apparently. To be honest, I could not make it more than like 2 minutes. It is utterly unwatchable. It's not interesting. It's not funny. And I don't know anybody saying that it is. In fact, I mean, if you go through the comments on the YouTube video, like 90% of the comments are just like, gee, it sounds like it hurts your voice, Tim. Hey, Tim, that's a really painful voice you're doing there. It's like, that's not what you want people coming away from your thing that you spent millions and millions of dollars to do. People just being like, wow, this is uncomfortable to watch, Tim. This kind of hurts to watch. We have empathy with you, and it seems like this is going to be a painful 6 months for you. Humiliation ritual, continuously. I'm wondering whether I should talk about that or just save it for tomorrow. Because they did mention me, but they didn't say my name. They refused to say my name, which is a pattern I've noticed. They always refuse to say my name. Remember the ADL published my tweet but blocked out my name? Why would they do that? Why won't they say my name, I wonder? And I, you know, I'm halfway tempted just to give them advice because they're failing. Like, they have failed. They are failing. And it's like, I keep seeing this stuff. And it's true. I mean, you know, we'll just add onion to the pile of trash. It's already way too high as it is. Just four examples here. The trash pile ever grows. Brain fight with Tuck Buckford. You've got the Onion parody of the InfoWars. You've got the opposition with Jordan Klepper. That was a whole damn show they tried to do to parody us. And you've got the Howard Stern recurring, you know, Alex Jones puppet parody. And that doesn't even include the Homeland series and the, you know, caricatures of the Alex Jones-like character, you know, from everywhere else. This is just the direct, like, purposeful parodies, you know, pointed right at us. And they're all terrible. None of them have any idea how to do it. And I see people online going, well, it's just because Alex is unparodyable. He's too self-aware. He's too sort of, you know, over the top and rambunctious. Ivan saw Reese tweeted something out about this. Your good old Uncle Reese was saying that it's just not possible to. I think it is. I think I could do a great. And I don't even want to give him advice here, but I will, because it's just, I'm just that nice of a guy, and they're just not talented, and it like hurts to watch them. It's embarrassing. It's very embarrassing to watch them try to be funny, and they just can't. I'll tell you what it is. In fact, I think Reese is back there. Reese, can you bring up your tweet? Can we bring up Reese's tweet where he talks about this? So I was going to leave it as a comment, but I thought I'd say it here. Because I'm like, do I tell them what the secret is to parodying Alex? Because I do know it. Nobody else knows it. Nobody else can figure it out, but it's not that hard. I don't know if I want to give it to him, though. I don't know if I want to tell him how to do it, but I will. From Crazy Unc Reese on X, you cannot actually parody Alex Jones. He is one of those rare specimens that is exempt from its clutches, truly. He's so divinely, uniquely, and outlandishly bombastic in his delivery that any attempt to eclipse it through mockery will inevitably ring hollow and try hard. And I think I think he's right. But I think I could do it. And I'll tell you how I could do it. I'm just going to tell you, all right, if you're with the Onion, you have to turn this off now, all right? You're not allowed to steal my ID, even though you steal everything else. I don't think I should. I don't think I should tell him how to do it. Maybe I will tomorrow. Maybe I'll get into it more tomorrow and actually address what they said. They're kind of nice to me. He wants to hire me. The Onion wants to hire me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine me lending my genius to them? Never gonna happen. It's also funny. He's like, he's a young man. He's just starting out. Son, I'm a 36-year-old father of three. Okay. I look young because I'm young in spirit and because I take the supplements at thealexjonesstore.com. That's what makes me youthful and vivacious. All right. I know it's complicated. It's hard for you to understand because you are the has been that never was. I'll do it tomorrow. We'll get into it fully tomorrow. I don't want to waste a little time we have here on them. And maybe tomorrow I'll give you the secret of parodying Alex Jones. Okay. It's so simple, but so genius. Maybe I'll just do it. Maybe I will just parody Alex Jones better than they can. Wouldn't that be something? Because I can make it funny. Because I understand it. Because I understand what it would take. We got to move on or I'm going to tell them, I'm going to give them the secret, and then they like might actually be successful. The only way they could possibly be successful is if they have me to think for them, and I refuse to do it. I'm going to let them struggle and die all on their own, metaphorically and in ratings, I mean. But now we have actual serious stuff to talk about here. One of them is, of course, another, I'm sorry to say it, but we did tell you so. We did tell you this was the case. And in fact, I told you this on October 9th, 2023, because on October 9th, 2023, it was the first show of the Alex Jones Show after October 7th and the big terror attack. And Chase Geiser and I sat there and sort of played out in a thought experiment what a full-scale attack on Gaza would eventually lead to. And on October 9th, the calculus was already there. This is going to extend to include a direct confrontation between Israel and Iran. Israel cannot handle Iran without American boots on the ground. Therefore, they need American boots on the ground. But if they attack Iran and Iran responds to America, all of the American bases are sitting ducks. I remember saying that, and you can go watch it yourself. Well, if you had the foresight to back up those episodes, which many of them can still be found on Rumble, then you can go back and see. Like, we said this exact thing. And we'll go now to clip number 7 here, because this confirms what we told you on October 9th, 2023 would be the case if Iran ever went to war with America. American bases would be hit, and they'd be hit hard, and they did not have the ability to defend themselves against the weapons that would be hitting them. And then after the first week of attacks, when everybody was saying, "No, we're fine, nothing's happened, no American bases have been destroyed, that's all crazy conspiracy theory stuff," but no, it's been admitted we were right, as we always are. Let's go to clip number 7 now.
Yes, of course.
Clip number seven should be a CNN confirms Iran brilliantly targeted and destroyed a U.S. Boeing E-3 Century system worth $500 million. Here it is.
Told us that they'd never seen anything like this at American bases, that these were rapid, targeted strikes using advanced technology. Iran's main targets? Multi-million-dollar aircraft, like this Boeing E-3 Century, which gave the U.S. a huge amount of visibility over the Gulf. It's out of production, and in today's money, it's worth nearly $500 million. Critical communications equipment. Look at these giant golf balls. They're known as radomes, and they protect satellite dishes vital for data transmission. In this space alone, Iran destroyed all but one of the radomes less than a month into the war. And crucially, radar systems. Highly sophisticated, expensive, difficult to replace, and critical to air defense. A second U.S. source, this one a congressional aide familiar with damage assessments, described these as the most cost-effective of the targets. Our radar systems, they said, are our most expensive and our most limited resource in the region.
And of course they did that with, like, drones worth a couple $1,000. So, like, just obviously, we've lost the Iran war. I think it's time to pack it in and just admit that we lost the Iran war, because every day this goes on, the worse and more catastrophic the effects will be. And they're already going to be astronomical, practically unimaginable. Fertilizer exports through Hormuz slow to a trickle. And just look at this fall off here. 20-year urea-laden strips. 20 urea-laden ships remain in the Gulf. But you can see that it just falls off a cliff and obviously is not, regained at all, any. And on top of that, you have all of these various refineries and fertilizer plants going up in smoke in Kuwait and China and Mexico and India, Australia, Iraq, Romania, India, USA, Russia, and Pakistan. Multiple refineries and industrial sites hit by fires, explosions, and attacks. Impacts, fatalities, outages, and supply disruptions, all in the month of April. Between April 2nd and April 22nd, there were like 12 major refineries attacked and destroyed. Which, again, I don't think that's a coincidence at all. And this is the type of thing where you can go back and look at, how often do these things happen? Are we just noticing them more? Or do they always happen? This does not always happen. This is a unique event that really only ever happened in history another time, which was during the run-up to the COVID lockdown. So, again, I'm very concerned what this is going to bring about. Nobody's telling you how F the farmers are. Again, we've read this earlier, and I guess this is the original guy that posted. I was confused because that far leftist guy posted it, and I was like, why do I have this? And apparently it was posted. Apparently the left stole something they didn't make and took it for themselves. Incredible. But yeah, what it says is the agricultural secretary just confirmed this publicly, how screwed the farmers are. 1 in 4 American farmers has no fertilizer for spring planting, no crops, no food. If you have no fertilizer, farm bankruptcies were up 46% in 2025. 160,000 farms have closed since 2017. Now, whether they closed or were consumed by a, you know, major multinational industrial titan, sort of tomato tomato, sort of either way, what you're left with is closed down and bankrupted farms. Airlines can cancel flights in advance over fuel shortages in new plan. And of course, Delta Airlines now wants like $1 billion payout, a bailout for $2.5 billion for Delta Airlines, even as they mysteriously cancel hundreds of flights nationwide, citing crew restrictions. See, the important thing to understand about this is the way the media covers something that is a gigantic deal that you should be freaking out about that they don't want you freaking out about. That's what we're seeing here. We've got stories from, you know, major MSM outlets all over the place. And everyone, like, the headline should be like red sirens as imminent starvation, you know, crisis because of fertilizer shortage. But it's just like, you know, just sort of calmly say, you know, there's a Forbes headline that was just like, yeah, it looks like farmers are saying that they don't have fertilizer and aren't going to have food next year. So we should look into that. But the experts are on it. It's just like, no, this is a very big deal. This is very crazy, and we should do something about this. Like, again, once again, I feel like we're kind of in like the COVID era. Do you remember first couple months of COVID before the mainstream media had told anybody about it? And only people like InfoWars were going, hey, there's this thing happening in China that we should be paying attention to. And what did they say? Nancy Pelosi goes out and goes, go hug your Chinese neighbor. Go to your Chinese neighborhood. Don't let the racism of the Trump administration stop you from loving your Chinese friends and family. And we're just like, no, there's a disease in China that we want to keep there and not let come over here. Stop calling us racist, you idiots. And they called us racist until the virus got here. And then they told us that there was nothing they could do about it. Yeah, aren't you getting a little bit of deja vu? Isn't this a little bit familiar? Where, like, yeah, the media was going, there's something going on in China. There's a mysterious thing happening, but it's fine. Don't worry about it. And we're the ones going, no, this is a big deal. And we should be sounding the alarm about this. The media has a skill, has a couple different skills that are sort of parallel mirror images of one another. They can create and manufacture crisis out of nothing. They can convince everybody that America is racist and sexist and homophobic, even though we're the least of any of those things. But they can also hold off panic where it should flourish, right? We should be very angry about this, especially because the thing that's causing it is a choice being made by our government. That's the real issue, is that we're going to have a food crisis because of the Iran war. And the people who should be telling us this in order to inspire the political will to stop the Iran war are downplaying the effects that this is going to have because they want it to continue. So just here we are again, once again, just like COVID, trying to tell you about what's coming. Most people probably ignore us completely, only to, you know, turn around and tell us the same thing we've been saying forever and act like we're all just figuring this out at the same time. Again, I don't know how we get around this. I don't know how we, like, stop this cycle, but it really is infuriating. I used to tell the story a lot more, but, like, one of the craziest times of all of COVID to me, two times, very early on, like, I think it was like the first thing that I did where I remember like people wearing masks. It was with my wife's family. And we got in a little bit of an argument because I was trying to explain that masks don't stop the virus, using the metaphor of a chain link fence trying to stop a mosquito. It's too big. The virus is too small. It goes in anyway. You're a conspiracy theorist. That's not true. The experts say blah, blah, blah. And I said, all right, you know, wear your mask if you want. That's fine. And then like 3 years later, same people go, you know, the masks don't actually stop the virus. And I'm like, oh, really? And they're like, yeah, we just heard on CNN, they have to be N5 or above or else the mesh is too wide. The virus gets in anyway. And so I just have to, like always, just be like, oh, really? So CNN said that, did they? Fascinating. Interesting. And I don't know, you know, it's my family, so I'm not going to like you know, part of me is kind of like, do you not remember the conversation we had 2 years ago? I remember it very distinctly. And I remember telling you this exact thing. Why does it take 2 years and CNN for it to get through? I don't know. I couldn't possibly tell you. All I know is that we'll sit here and tell you the truth, get called names, and then 2 years later, everybody knows the truth and everybody forgot that we told them in the first place. Sort of annoying. Kind of very annoying, actually. That's just the way it goes. So, like, here we are again. Here we are again. So you can just clip this out. You can bookmark this just in, you know, a year. If we even make it that far when the rationing hits, we'll just be here saying we told you so again. So infuriating. But obviously, I mean, I really do think that's just, you know, the point of all of this. I don't think anything about the nuclear dust or anything is even real at this point. I think it's all just an excuse to keep the strait closed, to keep the fertilizer locked in. I mean, how many different ways are there to have avoided this oncoming catastrophe and total disaster? We could have not gone to war with Iran, obviously. We could have foreseen that they were going to close the Strait of Hormuz and changed our military strategy to guarantee that that never happened, if that's even possible. We could have harvested our own fertilizer, the urea, the nitrogen-rich material that is required for fertilizer. See, China makes their own out of coal. We could do that, but the climate change agenda told us not to. And again, like once again, is this a coincidence? Do you think this is a coincidence, folks? That for the last 10 years, there's been repeated efforts to shut down farming in places like the Netherlands, the number two exporter of food in the world, over things like nitrogen in the soil or methane that cows release, and that then the war in Iran just happens to correspond directly and exactly with their already pre-established agenda, or the C40 systems, the C40 agenda adopted by cities, that their intention was to use government to stop you from flying in planes or owning your own car or buying, you know, disposable material. Do you think it's a coincidence or an accident that that's exactly what's going on now with the shutdown of the jet fuel through the Strait of Hormuz? It's like, how many things have to align perfectly for people to realize that it's not an accident and it's not a coincidence? And that's because the same people orchestrating it through the government are the same ones orchestrating it through the war. And it's just like whatever method is most convenient, it doesn't matter to them. Again, I feel like I'm just beating my head on a rock over and over again, like Sisyphus, just trying desperately to get somewhere. But I don't know, until enough people recognize this and stand up against it and we do what's necessary to get out of this war in Iran, we're headed towards the cliff. We're just on the train tracks. The trains go off the cliff. There's no bridge there. And we're just sitting here going, there is no bridge. You have to stop the train. We have to stop this. Why are we still going? And everybody else is just shoveling coal into the engine, pursuing their demise at full speed. It's absolutely mad, but they get away with it because the media's in on it and they hide the truth from the people. So you got breakthrough, and the only way to break through is with the truth.
I have been very blessed and honored in 32 years on air and 28 years of InfoWars to have seen the whole world change. When I first got started, almost nobody knew about the globalists. People were literally in the dark. Look how far we've come. We are exposing them. Jeffrey Epstein, the pedophile rings, the poison COVID shots, the open borders, the global wars, the 5G, all of it is coming out. Humanity is rallying. This is the fourth turning. This is the great awakening. It is the answer to their great reset. I am so proud of humanity, and I'm so thankful to all the viewers and listeners who over the years have supported us by prayer, word of mouth, and financial support at thealexjonesnetwork.com. So InfoWars has been shut down, but we've launched the Alex Jones Network. We plan to crank this sucker up. We got new studios, they're even bigger, being built. And we want to go 19 hours a day live by the end of 2026 from 5 a.m. until midnight. So If I build it, will you come? Yes, I know you will. So now more than ever, go to thealexjonesstore.com and get incredible supplements. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our bovine colostrum, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, incredible collectible knives, and so much more. You are literally financing the tip of the spear and the resistance that the tyrants and the globalists hate above everything else. InfoWars is a proven winner. They have a URL. They have an old studio. That means nothing. You are the InfoWar. And if you accept this mission, if you take action, if you spread the word, if you share our links, alexjoneslive.com, the news site, the live feeds, the articles, the videos, it's incredible. If you share the feed with everybody you know at alexjonesapp.com, get the free Droid or Apple download of the app, it is insane. All the power lies with you. That's why when callers call in and thank me, I say, thank me. I would fight this no matter what. I'd fight it in a ditch. I'd fight if I was homeless. We're all in this together. You have all the power, but you have to use the power now. Share the feeds to alexjoneslive.com. Share the URL, alexjonesapp.com. And go to thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel to wear your uniform of liberty openly and proudly. It's such an adventure to wear this apparel and to get the incredible supplements that will empower your life so you'll know how real this is. I only sell stuff that really works, so I want you to get it and take it and love it and have a great response. We have a 90+% reorder rate. So many of you are on the fence. Take action now. Step into a wider world. Go to thealexjonesstore.com today and support this broadcast. But regardless, take the feed, take the live links at alexjoneslive.com/show and on Rumble and Relox Shows on X, the Alex Jones Show on Rumble, and share those links and it changes the world. You are unstoppable when you decide to get up at the plate and take action. This is real. This isn't hype. You've seen the results. Now the ball's in your court. AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action. You are the reincarnation of Paul Revere. You are unstoppable. The globalists are in deep crap. Take action now at AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. And I want to be clear. I don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Network, does. We've got a major deal with Rumble to push our information. It's already top on Rumble, but to supercharge it. The most important coordinate in this fight is rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. rumble.com/Alex Jones Live. We are already at the top of Rumble, but we're going to go even further partnering with them. This is the coordinates of liberty. Take action right now at rumble.com/Alex Jones Live, and we are unstoppable. The power of humanity is unstoppable if you simply unleash it now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Gentlemen, it's AlexJonesLive.com, the Sunday night broadcast. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from our off-site headquarters, from the new command center here in Austin, Texas. I got a lot to show you here in this final segment. This is the final segment, right? Yeah. Time flies, I'll tell you. We got a lot of stuff to cover, including a interview from the New York Times and with Tucker Carlson, which is one of the most fascinating pieces of media I've ever seen in my life. Truly psychopathic behavior from the New York Times interviewer that we're going to have to investigate. Here's the headline I was talking about from Forbes. 70% of farmers can't afford to grow all their crops. Oh, okay. Sucks for them, I guess. That sort of underplays it, doesn't it? Doesn't that kind of undersell it just a little bit? 70% of farmers can't afford to grow all their crops. It's kind of like a, you know, special niche story, not something you should care about, obviously. You're not a farmer, are you? So why should you care, really? In the reality, what it should be is, you know, panic as world food supply in grave peril. That's what the headline should probably read. But see, they're covering it. You can't say they aren't covering it. You can't say they didn't tell you about it. They just want to play it down. They want to say, yeah, you know, it's these things are kind of connected, the war in Iran and the, you know, not having any food anymore. But you would think, you know, not having any food anymore would be kind of like a call to action, to be like a big deal. You know, we need food to eat after all. I don't know if y'all remember this. But no, they'll downplay it. They'll soft, slow roll it. And eventually, they'll be rationing food on the basis of race. And everybody who disagrees will be a racist and a hateful bigot. And their social credit score will collapse even further. So they won't just be able to get food. Maybe you'll still be able to get, you know, starvation rations. But that's if you behave yourself from here on out. So that's just going to happen unless we stop it. And we can stop that at any point. And in a way, I feel like right-wing activism has sort of collapsed. Now, there's obvious reasons for that. January 6th scared the crap out of everybody when everybody realized, oh, if we just participate in a protest, they can just attack the protest and then arrest everybody as domestic terrorists and send them all to jail for 20 years. That's kind of horrifying. Gee, it seems like we should probably turn the tables on them and, in fact, arrest all the people that did that to innocent patriots. But we didn't do that. And if you care to look at this graph here that Robert Barnes posted, you may see the consequences of that, amongst other things, right? Total collapse, complete, utter failure of the Trump administration across the board. One of the primary ones would be that the people that arrested Enrique Tarrio and Joe Biggs and Stuart Rhodes and the Oath Keepers and 1,200 more innocent patriots tried to and effectively destroyed many of their lives, tried to imprison them for the rest of their lives in some cases. And nothing's happened to those people. They're still prosecuting things at the Department of Justice. So if you want the right wing to be resurgent, if you want right wing activism and protest to spark up once again, you need to show people that they're not going to go to jail forever for participating in it. And Trump has not signaled that at all. So that's one of the reasons right-wing activism has collapsed entirely. Also, I don't know how exactly to credit it to X being open, but it seems to me like there are events that occur now that if they had occurred in 2016, it would have mostly occurred on 4chan. And it would have resulted in like major activism and people doing things about the information that was revealed. Now it seems like the information gets revealed. We talk about it, but there's not this like underground anonymous cohort who is aggressively waging war, information war on our behalf. Like this story from Zero Hedge, I only found it on Zero Hedge. I didn't see anybody talking about this on X. Blue Sky goes full panic after fired Trump officials' anti-ICE website doxes 18,000 leftists. So apparently there's 18,000 leftist identities, people on Blue Sky who thought they were anonymous and were probably posting some crazy crap on Blue Sky. And the correct response to this, and I swear if this had come out, something like this had happened in 2016, it would have been all hands on deck. It would have been contacting every single one of their employers to talk about what these people post online and demand that they be fired if they'd done something like called for the, you know, death of their political opponents, like we've seen on some of the comments under The Onion recently. Like, does anybody else feel that way? They're like, have you heard about this story? I feel like if this had happened in 2016, this just broke today, there'd be like an organized effort to make use of this information. Maybe it's going on and I just don't see it. But I feel like there's so many right wingers on X everywhere. This isn't a, you know, passive spectator sport. You got to participate in this. I'm not saying you take this information and do anything dangerous with it, but I'm saying this is an information war and we just got delivered a giant tranche of enemy information. We should probably do something with that. It could probably be pretty useful. Since we are in an existential combat with these people over the fate of our country and the world, this might be the type of thing we'd want to make use of and take advantage of. And I don't see a lot of people making use of or taking advantage of this or other things that have come out recently. And in fact, as I'm reading this and learning about what actually happened, I don't know why we aren't orchestrating stuff like this. This seems very easy. What happened was a bunch of people from Blue Sky downloaded an anti-ICE or joined an anti-ICE activist website launched by a fired Trump official, and there was a vulnerable connection to an unprotected API, which it's like, this is just an accident? How is this not something that we're doing? How is a right-winger not creating apps that are supposedly anti-ICE just for the purpose of confusing and distracting and annoying and doing other informational warfare tactics against the left? I feel like we should be doing this. I feel like we got enough talented and motivated people on the right. Where are the honeypot apps to trick leftists? Where are they? Oh, we have morals, do we? The crew just chimed in to tell me we have morals. Well, that's kind of true. Dang it. But here's the thing. I don't think there's anything immoral about finding the identity of somebody who's threatening to kill us and then calling their employer. Now, again, if you're calling an employer and talking about like a joke somebody made when they were 12 on a private chat, okay, that's crazy. But tricking leftists, I don't think there's anything immoral about tricking leftists whose entire purpose is the total destruction of our country. Like, hello, these people want to, like, why are they going after ICE? Oh, because ICE is law enforcement that protects our borders, and they would rather America be completely subsumed in a wave of hostile foreigners. Okay, let's trick them a little bit. How about that? That doesn't seem too bad to me. Personally, the breach exposed sign-up records may have been forwarded to federal investigators 3 days ago. And there you go. That's what you got to do. That's a moral thing. Well, now I'm torn. Now I'm torn between vigilanteism or snitchery. God forbid we be snitches. But it certainly would terrify the crap out of leftists to know that ICE had their information. I bet that'd scare the crap. I bet that'd shut them up for a little while. We have morals. As if there's anything immoral about tricking these fools. Taylor, this guy who made it, his name is Taylor. He was suspended in April 2025 for treasonous conduct after allegedly stoked dissension by manufacturing sensationalist reports on the existence of a supposed resistance inside the federal government. Now it appears he may have unintentionally honeypotted his left-wing comrades, many of whom reportedly plotted revolution on Blue Sky. Yeah. Yeah, no, they're plotting revolution. That's what they're doing. Which, again, it's like, really, the saddest commentary on all of this is that it never even entered into my mind that the federal government would do this, which they should, like you would think, when you got a bunch of leftists in America openly advocating violence, openly plotting revolution. You'd think the federal government would maybe want to intercede and prevent that from coming about. But that's obviously never going to happen. So it does fall to us at the end of the day to try to protect ourselves from these psychopaths. And if revealing who they are prevents them from carrying out their deranged habits or their deranged goals, then I think I'm fine. I think I'm actually fine with that. One of the other, again, very disturbing things that I see that seem to me to align with everything else that we see is an odd synchronicity in the way that both American states and European states are not only passing digital ID, enforcing digital ID voluntarily through usage of big tech or through the device manufacturers themselves, so you circumvent the restrictions that the government would have on collecting such information. They're all doing that, and they're all, you know, all of these methods are being pursued at the same time. Of course, in Europe, it's a lot easier for them to just literally make certain things illegal or just come out and say, like, Keir Starmer came out. This is a video from Shadow of Ezra to say protests must now be fully approved by the government, not offend Israel in any way. He says certain words or phrases will get you arrested for racism. The Anti-Defamation League wants these types of rules in the United States. Now, luckily, we have the First Amendment, which at least prevents them from taking such blatant and, you know, straightforward attacks against our freedom of speech, but Europe does not have any protections like that. And America's protections are being dissolved right in front of us at an incredibly rapid rate. And so then you have, of course, methods by which one can get around these restrictions, and it's those methods that they're now clamping down on. So Utah is the first state to hold websites liable for users who mask their location with VPNs. The law goes into effect designed to prevent bypassing age checks. Senate Bill 73 holds websites liable for users who mask their location. So basically, it's a roundabout way of making VPNs illegal. Utah's online age verification amendments, formerly Senate Bill 73, takes effect on May 6th, marking the state the first in the U.S. to explicitly target VPN use as part of age verification legislation. Now, I'll tell you again, it has nothing to do with age verification, obviously. It'd be so fun to be a bad guy. You really just have to come up with, like, the lamest excuse ever and then just run with that. Like, it really is amazing. It's like, what if we force everyone to take a picture of their face every time they use the internet? It's like, how the hell are you going to get people to do that? Oh, we'll tell them it's age verification for children. Idiots. And that's just what happens. It's crazy. It really is crazy. But everything is like that. It's like, just look at what they do. What they're doing is building a digital prison, a digital panopticon, so they can surveil you at all times, know exactly who you are, connect your digital identity to your real life identity, so they can either punish you for what you say, or at the very least, have you censor yourself because you're nervous about what you should say. And that's what's at. Like, you look at what they're doing, and the function is that they are setting up a censorship program that corresponds across the board with the digital ID push, the age verification push, the anti-Semitism, hate speech push. Like, it's all aligned, and it's happening across the world, all in white Western Christian nations, just like the immigration crisis is happening in every white nation and only white nations. Like, all of these things are various facets of the same attack. And every one of them will be justified with something else. Every one of them. Oh, the migration, it's for the economy. The taking your photo while you get online, that's for age verification. The digital ID, that's for convenience, I'm sure. And yet they all align to exactly the same thing at the same time that the fertilizer is not being spread, meaning that starvation is coming, meaning rationing will take place, meaning that by the time they're ready to dispense your corn allotment for the month, you will be incapable of escaping because they have the digital panopticon and your digital identity that they can watch from space through your heartbeat with the satellite. Like, all of this stuff is happening at the same time for a very obvious reason. To me, it all seems very obvious. And at the same time, so you've got Utah basically writing a law to undo the effects of VPN and make VPN use all but illegal or ineffectual. And at the exact same time, you've got this happening in Europe. Let's go to clip number 6 here. New age ID system cannot be bypassed via VPN. Let's watch. Oh, clip 6 you don't have?
Yes, of course, it's difficult, of course, to have the technological solutions that there's no any way to circumvent or try to circumvent, of course, the rules. But now when we are setting the rules in place, of course, we have to also have ways how we are able to implement this. And now we don't have that kind of age verification tool at all, which is protecting the people's privacy and in the same time, which is cyber secure and secure all the levels. So this is our solution for that. But of course, it's also important part of next steps also to look that it shouldn't be circumvented. And especially, of course, we are especially looking at that kind of high risk services now. We just few weeks ago, we published preliminary findings on against 4 porn platforms, and these, for example, are seen as a high-risk services that they have to have very strong age verification tool in the place that they can be sure that users under 18 years, they are not having access to these porn platforms, for example. So that's why that kind of privacy preserving solutions are very much needed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, absolutely. That totally didn't sound like the frantic cover-up of a supervillain trying to disguise the real purpose of their incredibly obvious suppression techniques. But okay, whatever. No, we got it. So Utah and the EU just so happened to, at the very same time and practically on the very same day, announce methods by which VPNs can be rendered useless because they, you know, want to protect children. After all, don't you want to protect children? Put your face in the machine. If you want to protect children, just put your face in the machine. Just let it scan you. Let it create your digital clone. Let us surveil you constantly. Let us listen into your conversations through the fiber optic cables in your walls. You don't hate children, do you? You want to protect children? So do that. Great. At the same time, all this is happening. We have a video from a man who filed a FOIA request on his own property and discovered that the Department of Homeland Security had drone footage of his backyard garden, which will soon be illegal. Now, this happened in Virginia, but we've covered this extensively in places like Oregon, where they keep incrementally changing the definition of things to accrue further, you know, bigger and bigger authority over more and more things, to where a puddle in your backyard can be classified as a lake, so the EPA can, you know, tell you not to drain it, or, you know, collecting rainwater is illegal in Oregon for some reason. Having a backyard garden apparently makes you a farmer and you have to like apply for a special license. They're trying to stop you from growing your own food, folks. It's not that complicated. Say, see, the rationing that I keep talking about wouldn't be all that effective if you can just use the bounty of God's earth to create your own flourishing garden. That's like total anathema to the world controllers. You're supposed to be a slave of them. And all of the bounty and goodness and prosperity of the earth is supposed to be doled out by them to those who are appropriately subservient, okay? That's what this is all about. Let's go to this video. Let's watch it. Yeah, clip number 14. This was posted by Dr. Jane Ruby on X. Man files FOIA on his own property, and it comes back with drone footage of his yard where he has a vegetable garden. It's been labeled, quote, suspected food production. Okay, just take that phrase. If your government is saying the words suspected food production, maybe time for a revolution, folks. Let's watch.
You guys, I'm freaking out right now. I did a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request on my name, and this is what I got. This is a drone surveillance video of my yard, of my private property, looking for food, looking for me growing food on my private property. Not only am I freaked out, but I'm furious. I'm furious. Everyone should be furious. We need to talk about this. Send this to someone who you think is growing food and would also be on the government watch list, because this is not okay.
No, it's wild. It's crazy. They haven't labeled suspected food producer. Suspected food producer. So he didn't know this until he filed the FOIA request. Maybe we all need to be filing FOIA requests to find out where they've been doing this and over what part of the country they've been flying drones to identify potential backyard gardens and what that list is going to be used for. Seems to me like they are filming with a drone, labeling somebody's backyard suspected food producer, but then not telling them about it, not doing anything about it. They're gathering data that will be used in the eventuality of a food crisis, when they'll say, you keeping the food that you grew, that's selfish, you're causing other people to starve. You grew food that wouldn't exist without you, that they have no right to because they didn't plant it and they didn't grow it and they didn't do the work that you did to make it, but they'll take it from you and give it to them because it's unfair otherwise, obviously. How many times have I said it? You thought I got sick because you're not vaccinated was ridiculous. Just wait till I'm starving because you have food. And that's actually where we're going. And I can't help but wonder if we're trying to get there fast enough to not even have the midterm elections, have a major crisis, maybe get into full war with Iran, which I think is coming very soon. I mean, I've seen a lot of signals. The Iran war is either going to end or massively expand within a week or two is my guess. And that's just vibes. I'm going purely off vibes here. But the vibes I'm getting are inflection point. Either we won, we're giving in to all Iran's demands because we want to, and we're not made, we weren't forced to, but we're just like kind of sick and tired of this. So we'll move on. We don't have to, but we choose to. Like, either we're going to just stop it, or we're going to double down and go in even harder. That at least seems to be the signals I'm receiving. So I wonder if we'll even make it to the midterms, if they'll be allowed to happen. We got stories like this. Boris Johnson, former Prime Minister of England, says falling birth rates are not a disaster. They're the best bit of global news in a long time. He says in the hilltop villages of Tuscany, where I was recently, the bells were tolling for far more funerals than weddings. And that made him thrilled, I guess. That made him happy. It's the best news he's heard in a long time, the fact that there's more funerals than weddings. That alone, I think, would be enough to say this man is an insane person who should be institutionalized. But you only really realize what this article is about when I tell you that Boris Johnson has 9 children. He has 9 children. Boris Johnson could field a lacrosse team of his own offspring, but he thinks that everybody else not having babies is great news. It's great news and should be pushed more for it. Like, he gets to have 9 children, but you don't get to have any. And he prefers the funeral bells over the wedding bells because he's a sick psychotic, obviously. And he talks about how these numbers are very high in sub-Saharan Africa or provinces elsewhere. As for the UK, he says, once one of the fastest growing populations in Europe, the latest figures show that deaths this year will now exceed births for the first time since the mid-1970s. Yes, we on this island are part of the trend. We're also going to peak much earlier than previously expected by mid-century with decline thereafter. Yes, folks, it's expected, unimaginable, and now undeniable. The pessimists are calling it the great global baby bust, and of course it's causing politicians going to spasm. Boris Johnson says falling birth rates are good news. Yeah, it doesn't make a very compelling case there. But of course, it's not just birth rates. It's the mass death from the war happening in Ukraine. And of course, Africans will replace the people there. Southern influx. Ukraine is preparing to receive hundreds of thousands of migrants because what they're doing is creating an infinite cycle of immigration where new people will be brought in. They'll be corrupted by the leftist media and chemicals in our water. They'll be rendered infertile within a generation or two. Their line will die out, and you'll bring in another crop of people from the third world that's kept in massive population surplus by all of the excess food that we send them. That's the plan. Don't forget it.
Draft politicians for World War III, like Lindsey Graham and Ben Shapiro. Let's send them to the front lines. You can get this shirt and other incredible designs at thealexjonesstore.com, which also funds the new network, the Alex Jones Network, where you'll find my live feeds, the other great shows, special reports, investigative reports, and more at the new coordinates of liberty, alexjoneslive.com. And share that URL as well. You are the modern Paul Revere's. And then, of course, download on Android and Apple the free apps so you can watch the show and more and share it at alexjonesapp.com. Now, I'll see you on the front lines of the InfoWar.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching AlexJonesLive.com. It was declassified in 2025. The CIA and the FBI under Obama's command launched the attacks to shut down the original InfoWars. But InfoWars belongs to the people, and it's stronger than it's ever been. They can't take that away. You are the real power of this operation. So take the link, AlexJonesLive.com, and the link, AlexJonesApp.com, for the free Droid and Apple download, and share it on your email list, your text messages, with everybody you know, and complete strangers. You have all the power. When you call and tell me how great I am, I say, stop. I'm just like you. I want freedom. I need you to get excited about the power you have. And that's what it's all about. They think you're about to shut us down. That is a total lie, ladies and gentlemen. Humanity is unstoppable when we take action. And the coordinates of liberty are AlexJonesLive.com and AlexJonesApp.com. Take action now. Share those URLs to everyone you know now and break the back of the globalists. You're unstoppable, Paul Revere. Take action now.